Greet each one in Jesus' precious name, the worthy name of our Lord, the one we have come here to worship. And I've been inspired this morning by the singing and by the devotionals and all that took part. I just felt it was a very, very strengthening service and invigorating to me. I hope it was to you as well. For some starter verses, turn with me to Psalm 32. And then we'll be turning to Psalm 19, about three verses I'd like to read before I give the title. Psalm chapter 32. I appreciate Jimmy's prayer and that he asked that God would lead us and that he would show us how to go. And at least that's the thought I got from it. And in the ways, we'd like to speak about a way that God works through us, or a way that God teaches us to be more in tune with him. Psalm 32, starting verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. And turn over to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Focusing in that verse on the meditation. David's cry, the psalmist's cry, was that the thoughts, the meditation, the yearnings of his heart would be acceptable in God's sight. So a lot goes on in our hearts. Sometimes we use the word heart for our mind, our thinking, and it's kind of interchangeable. A heart doesn't think, we know that. But it means that in the core of us, in the center of us, the thinking part of us, the thought processes that go on within the being of each one of us. And so taking those verses this morning, the title is More Than a Horse. More Than a Horse. In Psalm 32, he is making the point that God is going to instruct us. He's going to give us instruction. He's going to teach us the way in that we should go, and that he's going to guide us with his eye. He follows with the verse, be not as a horse that has no understanding, that must have external pressures upon it to make it do what it's supposed to do. God is saying, I'm going to pour out upon you the instruction that I have for you, and then I just want you to do it. More than a horse. Our thoughts create channels whereby actions are granted passage, or create barricades whereby actions are prevented. Our thoughts are this way. I was thinking about it as Seth had our devotionals. Devotional. He asked the question, who is Jesus to you? What was happening? What was happening is that he presented a question to us to contemplate. And in that thought process, as we thought about who Jesus was to each one of us, then we think about it, we're strengthened in that. And as we think about what Jesus can do in my life and how he strengthens us, it creates a passage for our feet. It also creates a barricade to prevent certain actions that are not acceptable to God, which we find in his word as well. So our thoughts create channels whereby actions are granted passage, or create barricades whereby actions are prevented. This human capability is for the purpose of inner control, to do right rather than external control to do right. God wants us to choose to do right. And this is an interesting thing, whether you're in the workplace or whether you're in a church, any human organization, there's generally a code or certain rules you live by. And from the administration part or from the employee standpoint, how are we going to get people to do this? And it's so nice when you have employees or church membership or Sunday school students or school students that when you present it to them, all right, here's what we're going to do today, or here's how I want it done, or here's what I don't want done. And they say, okay. And away they go, and the work gets done. And that's the way. That's being more than a horse. A horse doesn't think that way. A horse this morning, you ask him the question, who is Jesus to you? He has no comprehension of that. He just follows his desires. The quest of this message is that we Christians, this audience, this membership, would learn and exercise in a greater way inner godly control. Don't we all have room to grow in that? Inner godly control. God presents it to us through his word, through teaching. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will instruct thee in the way that thou shalt go. And that each one of us would just grow in a greater dimension, that we would just do what God wants us to do. We would just exercise that. We would just yield to that. Not that we have to be somehow forced, that bit and that bridle. No, we just do it. Three parts to the message. First, I'd like to look at the uniqueness of human thought capacity. The uniqueness of human thought capacity. Oh, I want to reflect on the song that we wrote, Come Gracious Spirit. The first verse, it talks about this thought process. Come Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above, be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside. And it repeats it, o'er every thought and step preside. That's the thought that we're after this morning. So, the uniqueness of human thought capacity. Job 35:11 says, who teacheth us more than the beast of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven? Job asked that question, and he was contemplating the difference between how animals act and learn versus the human acts and learns and is taught. Humans are unique in that they have a much greater ability to think, to reason, to contemplate than anything else in God's created world. Human beings have what we call introspection. We can look inside of ourselves and think about what we are thinking about. We can think about thoughts that we thought about. We can think about thoughts that we thought about maybe a year ago. You ever come upon something, well, I remember being in that situation, I remember being in that service or wherever it was, and I remember the thoughts that was going through my mind. A horse doesn't remember the thoughts that it thought. So human beings can think about thoughts about other thoughts they thought. Or it could be good like this. The other day I was thinking that if I were to do this, then that, it would create this. But the more I think about it, that is not correct. That's the ability of the human mind to piece those thoughts, to rethink the thoughts, to recollect the thought, run it through again. Is this really how it is? Or like this. The thought I thought I thought wasn't the thought I thought I thought I thought. Human capability of thinking. Human beings can evaluate thoughts for correctness, or measure them for sureness, or weigh them for importance. This is the ability of the human mind. Jordan Peterson says, thinking is very hard work. Because to think deeply upon something, it is like placing a thought on display in your mind and then becoming multiple people and arguing with yourself the multiple perspectives of that thought to a correct conclusion. So you hold something in display and you say, well, if I did it this way, it would look like that, but if I look at it from this perspective, then it's like this, or from that perspective, it's like this. And that's how we find our way in life. And all of us do that to some degree or another. The gift of understanding, thinking about the human uniqueness of human thought capacity. The gift of this understanding, I believe, is ultimately for the purpose of determining a godly path. God has given us the ability to read His Word, to ingest His Word, and we'll look at some of that later. He has given us the ability that He can speak to us through His Holy Spirit. And in those thought processes, that we determine a godly path, and that as individuals come together in the membership of a congregation and we discuss issues of spirituality, we discuss issues of church life, that all of us, as in our thinking and incorporate, and that thinking is arising from a godly heart and godly inner control, that we can determine a godly path for ourselves and for the church, for our little ones. This gift of understanding is for the purpose of inner control for every person. Second part of the message. The Christian faith requires a basis or foundation for thought. It requires something to gird it up. If you're going to have correct thinking, if you're going to have wisdom in thinking, thought patterns that are godly, it needs undergirded by something. Thoughts arise from a pool of information. They arise from somewhere. Yes, they arise from inside of you, but we are fed that from other places. So number one, where do we get this? The Bible, God's Word, is the foundation of correct thinking. The Bible, God's Word, is the foundation of correct thinking. And so the godly man is busy infusing God's Word into his life. Let's go back to, I should say, the godly person, man or woman. Back to Psalm 19, starting at verse 7. Listen to what the psalmist says. And how does he know this? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. How far did I want to go? 14. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who could understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And then he follows with the verse we read in the beginning. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I believe what is happening here is that psalmist is strengthening himself. He is infusing himself with the law of God. And he says it's perfect. And the statutes of the Lord are right. And we go down through all of those things that he says about the Word of God and that what it does for the existence of the human being and how that it keeps him, it warns him, it keeps him from presumptuous sins. And then he follows that and says, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. He's infusing himself with God's Word. God's Word is the foundation of correct thinking. Of course, we then look at regeneration, salvation experience. We must be right with God. Our sins must be confessed to God. Jesus Christ into our heart, moving into our heart because of receiving his gift of salvation. Regeneration through repentance. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so there is, if we are going to be infused with God's Word and it's going to do us the good that it is supposed to do, and it's going to create channels that for our steps, our thought processes, if it's going to create channels in our thought processes that our steps may follow, we need to be doing this. We need to be this new creature. And in being that new creature, the regeneration, there is a new heart given, a new desire. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thinking about the Bible, God's Word, as the foundation of correct thinking, it follows in with teachability. Psalm 32, the chapter we were in. We need to be a teachable person. And that was verse 8 that we read. God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. We need to be a teachable person. When it comes to God's Word, we open up our hearts. We open up our lives. We come into these services. We read the Word ourselves to be teachable. We open up ourselves. John 16:13 says the Holy Spirit will also guide us. He will guide us into all truth. And then, of course, we've probably already spoke of this, but we need to yield in obedience to God and His Word. Infusion of God's Word, regeneration or salvation through repentance, teachability, and yield to obedience to God and His Word. This is the foundation that needs to be undergirding our thought processes. Secondly, thinking about this foundation, sound biblical thinking comes by way of exercise in the things of God. So, we talked about that God's Word is this foundation. Secondly, it comes by way of exercising in the things of God. Daily exercising the mind about God. The psalmist says this in Psalm 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. A godly person that has infused himself with God in His Word, and he thinks about God. How does God want me to do this? And he is teachable. God is teaching him. How do we do this? Exercise in things of God. Enter spiritual discussions. And part of that is like in the Sunday school class. It can be one-on-one. But talk about spiritual things. It can be around the supper table, around the breakfast table. Enter spiritual discussion. Talk about the things of God. Talk about what God wants for the Christian, how actions should be, how actions should not be. Enter spiritual discussions about eternity, about society, how we can win them for Christ. Enter spiritual discussions. We need to exercise our minds in the things of God so that our thought processes are brought into line with God. Attendance of worship services. And one of these times that keeps rolling around in my mind, I'd like to preach a message on church attendance. The case for church attendance or something. But it is so important to bring ourselves to the place of worship, to place ourselves where God is worshiped, to place ourselves where God is talked about, to place ourselves where we can learn about God, to place ourselves in singing of the hymns, just like this, Come Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside. And we sing those hymns, and we think about those words, and we're strengthened in our inner man, and our thoughts are made straight, and it prepares us for life. It prepares us for the rest of today. It prepares us for the rest of this week, the rest of our life. As line upon line, we put this foundation and exercise ourselves in things of God. The psalmist talks about this in Psalm 73. He was struggling, and I think I've read this chapter not so long ago, but it's the Bible is worth repeating. Psalm 73. The psalmist is struggling. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. So his thoughts were, we talked about that, how our thoughts prepare a path for our feet. So this is what was happening. His thoughts were starting to slip, and so his feet were starting to slip. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he goes down through all the things that he saw that in the wicked, that they were prospering, and he just couldn't make sense of this. And he's thinking, you know, I'm serving God, and life is difficult for me, and it seems like their life is easier. Go down through, you can read that all for yourself. But I'd like to skip then to verse 17. So this is what was happening in his mind. His mind was slipping. His feet were slipping. He says, until, verse 17, I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. You see what happened when he went to church? You see what he, excuse me. You see what happened to his mind and his heart and his steps when he went to church. When he went to the sanctuary of God, and I sometimes wonder, the times that I have missed that service, the times that you think about this as well, the times that you have missed that service, and you had a need in your life, and you missed this blessing of your thoughts being corrected, my thoughts being corrected, our steps being corrected. And then we get to the end and we realize that God is so good, and the wicked are on a path away from God, and their destination in hell is secure, and mine is secure in heaven because I'm walking with him, all because I went to church. Exercise our minds in the things of God. Thirdly, love for Jesus Christ is the Christian's inner control. Love for Jesus Christ is the Christian's inner control. And this could be said different ways. We talked about the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised when the Holy Spirit would come that he would guide us into all truth. It's all true. But what I zeroed in on in this particular part was 2 Corinthians 5:14, where it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." For the love of Christ constraineth me. Can you say that this morning? Can I say that? That the love of Christ constraineth me. When it comes to living the Christian life and walking the path of holiness. Excuse me. Walking that path of holiness. That it is my love for Jesus Christ that is going to keep me on that straight and narrow path. The love of what he has done for me. The love for the things of God. The love for his word and what he teaches me. The love of Christ constraineth me. That is this inner control. The Christian should need very little exterior control. Can I say that? Very little exterior control. Because God just pours his teaching upon us. Whether it's in church, whether it's reading his word yourself, he pours that upon us. And a lot of times we know what to do. If we don't know what to do, we can ask questions. We can find our way in this life with God. We can. That's his desire for us. That's his promise for us. He will guide us. The love of Christ constraineth us. I believe that is the Christian that has chosen to let the truth of God penetrate their heart. Ask Jesus Christ the Savior to reside in their heart and yield each moment to the power of God that is in the heart, the Holy Spirit. That's what this love, that is what empowers that individual that yields to the constraining power of Christ's love. And through that love and through that constraining power, we walk the pathway of life. We discard the evil. We say no to sin and temptation and walk on with God. In failure, because we do fail, we're humans, we do fail. But in failure, the Christian's godly inner control brings them to confession and repentance of sin. Go back to Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, this is the agony of King David reflecting on his sin with Bathsheba. This is the agony. And he says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Let it be, so let it be." I believe that's what Selah means. "For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. For thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah." We remember the story of David and his sin, where from a rooftop he observed a woman. And he then inquired, "Who is this woman?" And he kept going. He kept inquiring. His thoughts created a pathway for him. And like a horse or an animal, King David allowed his desires in the form of thoughts to create a pathway for his actions, leading him to jump all the fences between him and sin. Because of the mind. Because of the mind. And Psalm 32 shows that agony, but he gets to the end of Psalm 32 and he says, "Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." He's reflecting, I believe, on his own failure and says, "I was as an animal." And he's given us instruction to not be that way. Now, this was the sin of adultery, but there, sin of all kinds happens in the mind. We create a pathway channels in our mind by which allows our steps to follow. King David allowed his thoughts to travel to what was sinful and provided a path for action. Third area of the message, fruits of godly inner control. I'd like to talk about some practical things of what I need to do, what you need to do, what we need to do to create a greater inner control. Because in my observation of church life is so much better and so much stronger, and there's so much more vitality and life and inspiration, spiritual inspiration, when people just do what they're supposed to do because of God's word, because they love God, because the love of Christ constraineth them. And it is hard. In fact, I don't know where all the lines are, but when leadership has to wrangle people into the pens, it just doesn't work very well. And so this morning, I want each one of you, the desire of your heart to well up within you, that I want to do what God wants me to do. We'd like to talk about some of those things. Fruits of godly inner control. Number one, learn to find your own spiritual food. Learn to find your own spiritual food. And one of the thoughts behind us is we're looking back at now at the verses we talked about. Be not as a horse or a mule, or be not as an animal. Learn to feed yourself. And I know the scripture says, and we have us pastors and teachers have a responsibility. Feed the flock of God. That is a part of Scripture. It is our responsibility. But there's also a great responsibility laid upon every Christian here. Every Christian to learn to feed yourself. Learn to find that good food in the Word of God. Strengthen yourself in that. Eat of it. Drink of it. Make yourself strong in truth. Learn to feed yourself. It's important. A big part of the animal husbandry is keeping feed, proper feed. proper rations in front of the animals, the poultry, whatever it is you have. Keep it in front of them. And I know there's animals in the wild that find their own feed. But when it comes to animal husbandry, you have to keep it there for them or they will not do well. Don't be like that. Can I ask you not to be like that? Yes, come to church, find all the free food you can find, but learn to feed yourself. Learn to feed yourself. It keeps you strong in truth. Number two, clean up your mind. Clean up your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because it keeps us from saying yes to sin. If we clean up our mind, bring all our thoughts into the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. We need to clean up our mind of pride. And it's an ongoing battle. It's not a one-time clean up and you're good to go. No, it's a continual battle to keep our mind clean. Clean up your mind of jealousy, of self-pity, of lustful thoughts. Clean up your mind of self-will, bitter thoughts, etc., etc. Let's clean up our minds. It's important. Thoughts create pathways. You clean up your mind, and there's a pathway that'll lead you on to holiness. We let these thoughts in our minds, it creates pathways into sin. Thirdly, do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. Discipline yourself to biblical boundaries. Discipline yourself. Don't make authorities build fences and chase you all around to get you back into the fences. Don't. Do what you're supposed to do. It's not that difficult. You ever wonder? I'm like you are. Somebody tells you something to do, or we got this rule here. I don't want to do that. Inside. Why would I have to do that? Who's telling us that? Let's do what we're supposed to do. You know, when it comes to livestock, it would be so nice that the cows that I have on 40 acres over there across the road, if I could just every spring turn them out there and say, on the back side, you'll find a stone wall. On the other side of that is another person's property. Don't go over there. And the cows all say, okay. And down on the other side, if you go across that, you'll get down toward 81. I don't want you going down that way. Okay. Across the other way, there's a garden down there. And no fences. Just talk to the cows. And they all stand. The huge part of animal husbandry is building fences, restrictions, buildings, making sure that the fence is good enough to keep animals in, making sure the gates are closed. All of these things. We're not animals. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Discipline ourselves to brotherhood agreements. Make yourself aware of them and do them. Ours is called the Decrees for to Keep. If you're from another congregation, I don't know what yours are called. But we generally have a little booklet of some kind of brotherhood agreements. How about we just do them? How about we actually know what's in there and we just do that? We're not livestock. God says, I will guide you. He said, it's about verbal instruction. And we have the thought capacity as humans to take that verbal instruction and say, yes, I will yield to that. They're brotherhood agreements. I didn't come up with them. I may be helped with some of them, but it's not my thing. I have a sign to this. This is the church I want to be a part of. This is where I want to be, and I want to do these things. It's a brotherhood agreement. This is what I signed up for. Thirdly, discipline yourself to yield to the authorities in your life. There's children here. There's young people here. You have parents. How about I suggest to you that you just obey them. You just yield to those parents that you have. If they ask you to do something, you just do that. How about that? How about employers? How about we as employees, all employees, how about we just do what our employers want us to do? How about if they say no cell phone on the job, there's no cell phone on the job. Verbal instruction, we take it in, we yield to it. This is a part of the thought processes. It's David saying to God, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Because to disobey, to not yield to the authorities in my life, there's something going on down here. There's a voice saying something inside of my heart. There's a meditation that isn't aligning with God's word and his will. School teachers, pastors, civil authorities, I think you're getting the point, so I'll not bore you with every individual one. But discipline ourselves to yield to the authorities in our life. Just do it. Fourthly, main point, reflect on your spiritual life. Reflect on your spiritual life. Can you look inside of yourself? You should be able to. Maybe you haven't exercised that, but you could start today. Where you look inside of yourself and say, where am I in relation to this principle, this command of God? Where am I in relation to this principle? What is my relationship with God? What is my prayer life like? What is my spiritual, what is my interest in spiritual things? Where are some areas of carnality in my life? And we start looking inside. We reflect on our spiritual life. We look inside of ourselves. This is a part of being more than an animal. Animals don't do that. The old cow isn't laying there chewing her cud, and you say no, and she's there chewing her cud and thinking, no, yesterday when I was sticking my head through the fence and eating grass on the other side, and I was pushing the fence, and that's going to make Farmer Brown have to repair that fence at some point. You know, I'm sorry about that, and I guess I shouldn't do that. I'll not do that tomorrow. Animal doesn't do that. It's humans that can reflect. And the purpose of this reflection, this introspection, is so that we can determine a godly path. And in determining a godly path, we determine our eternal abode. Can I just say this stuff is important? Where are you in relation to God's commands, in loving others, in kindness, in honesty, in long-suffering, gentleness, in goodness, faith, morality, honor for authority, faithfulness to commitments, etc., etc.? Reflection often leads us to the realization for correction or adjustment. Do it. Let's do it. Are you on board? Let's do it. In thinking of more than a horse, there's a few verses I'd like to finish with that tells us what we really are. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons, and I'll put and daughters, of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we're the sons and daughters of God. More than a horse. 1 Peter 1:14 says this, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We're children of God, sons and daughters, children of God, and he is speaking to us. He's instructing us. He is guiding us. Let us yield to him. Let's pray.